The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 12 minutes after 7. By the way, we're going to be talking with Rebecca Boyle about our moon. This is about 10 minutes from now. She'll be calling in. And she wrote a book called Our Moon. And about the interesting facts about the moon. Of course, the moon's going to blot the sun off, out in the eclipse. Eclipses have always stirred the imagination. You know what? I've always wanted to ask her, given the fact that she's a scientist person, and she's written all sorts of stuff about the moon, I'm kind of curious if there is any evidence that more bad things happen after an eclipse. Because, you know, that was always the thing. It was always the omen. It was something to be scared of. You know, the sun's being eaten by the dragon or something like that. You know, those sort of mythologies. I'm just kind of curious. You never know what the stats may say. Let's see. Speaking of mythology, let's go to the Oregon Secretary of State's office. The Secretary of State's office that Dennis Lithicum, of course, is hoping to replace the current one. I got an email from the Oregon Secretary of State, LaVon Griffin Valade. Dear Oregonians, maybe you got this email too, I don't know. Since 2022, the Secretary of State's office has produced public service announcement campaigns called Voting in Oregon Feels Good. These PSAs inform voters with accurate information from an official, trusted source. The campaign is fun as well as informative, featuring a mascot who has become a beloved and recognized figure around our office, Blobby. Blobby, the mascot of the Secretary of State's office? Really? Okay. In 2022, the campaign generated a 259% increase in the number of Oregonians viewing accurate information on OregonVotes.gov. That's hundreds of thousands of people. Research shows that this approach can limit the impact of false information. We are excited to continue voting in Oregon Feels Good. So Oregon, voting in Oregon, it feels good. We're going to continue this into 2024, according to the Secretary of State, with the latest video of this campaign, shining a spotlight on all the ways we work to keep our elections accurate, safe, and secure. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Secretary of State Velotti, I know that I didn't feel real good about the security when we had all of these foreign nationals who were here to learning how to drive truck a few months ago. And this was like a year ago, actually, that this ended up happening, that all of these foreign nationals coming to go to RCC, and they were foreign citizens, but they were here and they had to get an Oregon driver's license in order to learn how to drive a truck at RCC at the school. And all of these people ended up getting a ballot sent to the motel. So you may say that voting in Oregon feels good, but when I see that potential, those potential non-Oregonians, non-citizens that would have been handed a vote, I don't think that feels so good. Do you? I don't think it feels good that if you wanted to actually look at the ballots to examine them to audit an election because of your rules, Secretary of State, I don't think it feels good that you'd have to pony up close to anywhere from $900,000 to $1 million, $900,000 to $1 million in the state of Oregon in order to take a look at the ballots. Because you have rules that say, we can't have any, nothing can be determined. If someone wrote their name on a ballot, it has to be taken off. It has to be scratched off. So every ballot will have to be looked at by the county before it can be turned over to anybody to look at them. And these are a public record, right? I don't think that feels good at all. Just saying. All right? But, yeah, this is the Oregon Secretary of State. Hmm. Anyway, with the May, this is how the Secretary of State concludes this email. With the May primary election right around the corner, this is also an ideal opportunity to revisit our PSA with information about closed primaries. Remember, the deadline to update your voter registration if you want to vote in the major political party's primary is April 30th. You can update your voter registration or register for the first time at OregonVotes.gov. All right, there we go. Now, I want to take a look at the one thing I did not know. I did not follow this through. So here it is. Oh, Blobby. I'm looking at Blobby, Oregon Blobby. It looks like a circle with just kind of a smile. It's kind of like the happy face from the 1970s. You know, remember the smiling face? Except it's even more insipid. It's a perfect representation of the Oregon Secretary of State's office. Hi, Blobby. Oh, I'm the official mascot for Oregon elections because voting in Oregon feels good. Okay. Anyway, I'll go back to the phones. Hello, KMED, KCMD. Save me from this nonsense. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. It's Deb calling.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. Hey, on the Secretary of State and the voting integrity type deal.
Mm-hmm.
So the only place I ever heard this clip from was on One American News. And I would love it if you could try to get it for the viewers and everybody to hear. But it is of Senator Ron Wyden. And it's several years ago. He's going before Congress. And he goes off about voter fraud and the possibility for the machines to be hacked. And it's just sickening to hear multiple times him go off in front of Congress, knowing that there's the possibility for cheating and everything, and then come back to Oregon and pretend like everything's all safe and snuggled and secure, because that's not what's happening.
I'll find that clip, Deb. I appreciate the tip on that, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you for the call.
Yes, bye-bye.
Let me go to line two. Hi, KMED, KCMD. You're going to help me save myself from the nonsense, or you got something else going on? Who's this? Hello?
Oh, is it me?
It is you.
Okay. Hey, Jeff and Selma.
Hi, Jeff.
You know, it's my understanding, Bill, that fentanyl and methamphetamine also feel good.
Yeah. Oh, you know, being drug addicted in Oregon feels good. That's actually a note from the Oregon Health Association, right?
And what are they? Little blobs on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh. Little blobs. So it's perfect. We have Blobby. That is the vision of voting integrity in the state of Oregon.
I think Kamala Harris would thoroughly enjoy that promotion. You know, after all, whenever she speaks, it's like speaking to kindergartners.
That was kind of a word salad coming from the Secretary of State's office, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you remember Dennis Richardson?
Oh, yeah. Very well.
And his newsletters, they were always about what they were doing, who they were investigating, and what they found.
And who they were auditing. That was a big part. Big part of it, okay?
Okay, all right. Auditing, investigating.
All right.
And when he passed away, I can't remember her name who took it over. The newsletters then became fluff. It was pictures of her with school children and going around the state and hobnobbing with different businesses.
Indeed. Jeff, I appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in here. We're going to talk the moon here in just a moment, okay? All right. I'm so looking forward to this next talk. Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
Service is the difference with Sweetwater Sanitation, your experts for sanitation services and portable restrooms. From pumping septic tanks, grease traps, even holding tanks, Sweetwater Sanitation brings 20 years and two generations of experience. And as a DEQ-certified maintenance provider, Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, and repair your septic tank, which should be pumped every 3 to 5 years. Call 541-821-1426 and visit swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, where service is the difference.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
There are not many times that I have the pleasure of speaking to a moon expert. Now, not many people put that on their business card, but Rebecca Boyle certainly is. She's a columnist at Atlas Obscura, a contributor to Scientific American, Quantum Magazine, The Atlantic, New York Times, Popular Science, Smithsonian's Air and Space Magazine, and many other publications. Member of the group science blog, The Last Word on Nothing. Okay, but you've got a book about something here, Rebecca. It's Our Moon, How Earth's Celestial Companion Transformed the Planet, Guided Evolution, and Made Us Who We Are. That's a pretty big claim. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
You know, something I've always wanted to ask, since you approach the moon with this scientific deal, and everybody's talking about the big eclipse, which is coming up on Monday. We're not going to see a lot of it out here on the West Coast here, but a lot of it in the eastern part about it. Is there any scientific validity to what the ancient astrologers used to say when they would talk about the omens of, oh, here comes the eclipse and it's the light being taken away from the world, et cetera, et cetera? Is there any evidence that bad stuff happens after eclipse? Do you know?
I mean, there are a lot of physical changes that happen to Earth. There's mm-hmm. a lot of atmospheric changes, like clouds seem to dissipate and the atmosphere kind of cools in the path of the moon and the sun together. Animals kind of freak out. You know, birds will fly back to their roost. Insects will start chirping because it's nighttime for them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in the past, people imagined bad omens happening in part because it was terrifying to see the sun vanish like this in the middle of the day, but also because I really think eclipses can be life-changing for people. I have friends who watched the last eclipse, and you had a great view up there in Oregon in 2017.
Mm-hmm. We did.
And people were crying and, you know, really overcome with emotion and felt a different connection to other people and to the whole planet. And I think people really can use those events to do things differently. And that might be like, I'm going to go conquer somebody or, you know, something, maybe make a decision that's really monumental. And I think that ends up transmuting into these myths about bad omens.
But it does actually affect mood to a certain extent. There does seem to be a emotional tug to the moon. Would you agree on that much with humanity?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the sort of central points that I try to make in the book, is that the moon is really a fundamental part of who we are. And it's more than just this romantic kind of notion of it looks beautiful at night. You know, it really does pull on us quite literally from every part of Earth all of the time, and all of life on Earth mm-hmm. is affected by it. There's so much evidence of all of these different things that the moon does to us and for us. And I think it makes a lot of sense that we feel powerfully connected to it, because we actually are.
Did the moon actually, is it finally settled? I'm going through your book right now, you know, over the next few days here. I've only had a copy of it for a little bit of time, so give me more time on this. Did the moon come from the Earth? Is that why it's going in rotation with us? In other words, we only see, you know, one side of the Earth at all times. I mean, is that finally settled? Do we know?
Oh, well, yeah. The moon is tidally locked to us. And mm-hmm. so the moon actually does rotate. It's just that it rotates on the same sort of speed at which it goes around the Earth.
Oh, okay. So that explains
doesn't
that.
It looks to us like it always just sort of like hangs out there, but it is actually spinning. It's just spinning around with that same kind of cadence. And so it's just called being tidally locked. And this has to do with the tide itself, the mechanism of the moon pulling on Earth and vice versa.
Did the Earth burp the moon out, or did we capture it from some other place? Have we finally settled that?
This is actually still an open question in planetary science, which I find crazy because, like, it's the moon. We should know, like, how the moon got here. So the most widely accepted theory is that it actually formed at the same time as the Earth we have now, from this horrible collision of two planets, so the early Earth and something else the size of Mars. Both planets collided and completely obliterated each other. There wouldn't be a crater of this. Like, everything turned to vapor, basically. And somehow, in this cloud of molten rock, the moon and the Earth that we have now both coalesced. But exactly when and how and where and how long and all these processes are still open questions. And it has a really fundamental bearing on how Earth turned out and how the moon turned out. But yeah, they mixed probably completely. So they really are, in a sense, twins. We're made from mm-hmm. the same stuff as the moon.
Do you think we should colonize the moon? If so, why?
I don't think we should colonize it in that, you know, we should just build sort of cities up there and you know, go prospecting. But I do think people should be on the moon. I think we should have a settlement there that's somewhat similar to what we have in Antarctica, where there's like a permanently crewed, you know, station, a habitation of some kind where people can live and work and come and go and do science and do tourism. You know,
yeah. I mean,
there's lots of tourism in Antarctica as well. I think that would be really valid, and I think it's a good idea for science and for exploration and for just sort of inspiration. I would be a little bit more worried about the moon turning into like a company town, you know, for mining interests.
I can see. Possible. Yeah, be Elon Musk's town or something like that, right? You know, that kind of thing. Whoever has the latest rocket ship up there. This is really interesting. A lot of fun facts about the moon. Great stuff. Our moon, how Earth's celestial companion transforms the planet, guided evolution, and made us who we are. And by the way, you're not fearing the eclipse on Monday, right? Right? No problem? You're not worried about this?
I'm super excited. No fear.
Okay. All right. Now here, Oregon Health Authority telling us don't look at the sun, like we need to be told not to look at the sun. But I guess maybe we do need to be told don't look at the sun.
It's true. You wouldn't feel the damage to your retinas. So okay. It's true. Do not look at the sun.
All right. Point well taken. Rebecca, thanks for the call. Great talking to you this morning. And happy Eclipse Day next week. Okay? See you then. All right?
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. It's 727 at KMED, KCMD.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to gawon'twait.com.
How can you avoid the stress and headaches of selling your home in today's market? Hey, it's Lars, and let me tell you, the only agent in Medford that can save you from all that stress is Jared Hokanson with Hokanson Realty. Don't let the negative media reports about interest rates stop you. Get the facts from a professional. Jared has years of experience and in-depth knowledge of the market right here in Medford. Jared has the right strategic options for you. And in this market, when he puts his marketing to work for you, that strategy helps attract the right kind of buyers at the right time who are willing to pay top dollar. Jared even guarantees to sell your home at a price and a deadline you agree to, or Jared buys the home instead. Real estate expert and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran and I both recommend only Jared Hokanson in Medford and in Southern Oregon. Call Jared today at 541-772-SOLD or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and tell Jared Lars sent you.
If you're searching for a property with a well, don't make a decision without a well flow test from Siskiyou Pump Service. Well flow testing is necessary in assessing the performance and reliability of the system. Real estate lenders often require flow validation to ensure it meets their criteria. Siskiyou Pump Service, with over a half century of dedicated service in Southern Oregon, are your go-to experts for a comprehensive well flow test that provides crucial insights into capacity, yield, and functionality. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa, enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Maher and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking her to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance, Father and Son Jewelry, Violets and Cream, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millette Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Villa with your MC5 Morning News Update. Community members gathered in front of Medford's federal courthouse Tuesday to support the KS Wild lawsuit challenging the Bureau of Land Management's Integrated Vegetation Management Program. This program would authorize open saro logging contracts in some of the oldest and most ecologically significant forests in southern Oregon. Supporters say this project is necessary to make up for decades of fire exclusion in the area, which reduced fire resiliency in the forests. KS Wild is also opposing a number of BLM timber sales in the Wolf Creek area. The Poor Windy project has already included logging thousands of acres of land. Protests of the project have even included residents building a treehouse with a sign that reads, "No old growth logging in a climate crisis." We reached out to a local BLM representative for comment. We have not heard back. New research could lead to southern resident orcas being named as their own scientific species. Right now, they're considered in the same group as Big's killer whales, but there are differences in their jaws, their calls, behavior, fin sizes, and diets, and even new genetic data evidence. You can find both whale types traveling the West Coast. For local news anytime, you can head to our website, KOBI5.com, or to our Facebook page, KOBI-TV, NBC5. And that's a look at your morning headlines from C5 News. I'm Marcus Villa. Have a great day.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix.
You sure do. Yeah, just fine. I can't talk too much during the break here, though. Okay, thanks.
Cover STT Pro mud terrains or Cobra Instincts for your sports car. Get $75 on five styles of all-terrain truck tires, including the popular AT3 XLT, and get $50 on three styles of all-season passenger tires, including Endeavor. Save on Cooper tires at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware, their motto, "We create it, print it, pack it, and ship it." A Street Print and Parcel at Studio 10.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
734. By the way, a few minutes ago, I just wanted to issue a correction. A few minutes ago, when I talked about the Oregon Health Authority telling us not to stare at the sun, that actually wasn't the Oregon Health Authority. That was the University of Washington. The University of Washington emailed me overnight and saying, do not look at the sun. And next, I'm assuming it's going to be the University of Washington, or it could be Oregon Health Authority. They would also say, remember, don't stick your hand in fans for fun. Okay. What would we do without bureaucracy looking out for us? Mother Oregon, Father Washington, whoever knows. But anyway, I appreciate you being here. It's 7:35, and we have Diane Linthicum. Diane Linthicum, Chief of Staff of current State Senator Dennis Linthicum, who is running for State Senate herself. Diane, it is a pleasure having you on. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Yeah, it's great to be here with you this morning. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. So here it is. You've been a chief of staff of the Senate office for, 8 years? So pretty much you know where the bodies are buried, and there's a lot of them, huh?
Right, right. Yes, where the bodies are buried, how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
And it's been an interesting 8 years, and I look forward to more time there to uncover more dirt and despicable moves by the left. So it's never ending, and we have to be on our guard and be ready for the fight.
Mm-hmm. What is it that made you want to continue this fight? What drove you on this? Why are you running?
You know, I think just because there is just still so much work to be done, and I'm well qualified to get in there and not take any guff and, you know, express my opinion without fear and be willing to vote no, ask the tough questions in committee. You know, basically, it's I think where I would stand is every question in committee, these people, mostly it's agencies, they come before the committees and they, you know, give their dog and pony show and kind of move your hearts. Obviously, that's what they're doing. We get slideshows and you're just hours spent listening to this. And in the end, you have to vote. Does it move to the floor or does it stay in committee or does it just get killed? And of course, as Republicans, as your listeners have heard it explained, it's always 3-2. So until we change that, it will still be 3 Democrats to 2 Republicans. Hmm. But we can at least ask the tough questions and call people on the carpet for either, you know, false narrative or, you know, not exactly correct. So I would always ask, you know, does it empower the government or the people? Is this creating more bureaucracy, more regulations, more rules that the good people of Oregon have to live under and, you know, try and accommodate and obviously pay for? You know, does it add unnecessary bureaucracy and regulations? Does it enhance or allow for the freedom of the people of Oregon? And I think right now what we see over and over again is they're clamping down on our freedoms, clamping down, you know, we just had that CAFO situation in the Willamette Valley, which of course is coming to a farm, a little homeowner near you.
Yeah, if you don't mind me interjecting here in just a little bit, the CAFO, I was talking about that with elected Farm Services Rep Glenn Archambeau yesterday, because I've been mm-hmm. seeing these reportings about, you know, Oregon is at war with farmers, right, and trying right. to shut and shutting down. And right. CAFO is a concentrated animal feed operation or feedlot operation. Is that
correct?
What that means?
Correct.
I want to make sure people know what CAFO means. Okay.
Confined. I think it's confined animal
confined.
Feeding operation.
Okay. Confined.
Right.
And
yeah.
what is the state? How is the state then using that to explain, you know, why you wish to fight as a state senator on this?
Right. Right. So what is happening is it's the agency is OWRD and they made a new rule, right? So this doesn't come through the legislature. They made a new rule within their agency that 2 animals, be it 2 chickens, 2 cows, 2 goats, 2 animals that you bring into a confined area, your barn, and put them on a concrete slab or gravel and, you know, milk them and then, you know, sell the I don't even think it has any parameters. I'd have to look at the details if it's parameters of if you're selling or not. But this is what happened to a small farmer in the Willamette Valley. Is she had 2 cows that she was milking and selling locally. And they came and said, oh, you've got to put in this amazing watering system and waste management. And it was to the tune of about $100,000.
Wow.
And so, you know, the story broke. The woman did a good job of letting the press know. And I think the citizens really created an uproar. And of course, all kinds of people are small farmers, small, you know, ag producers. And I think it's fascinating that, you know, over the years, what do we hear from the left is, oh, we love buying local, you know, go buy local and keep your local industry going. And then on the other hand, we have an agency that is clamping down like this. So, you know, in the past it was, I don't know how many animals, but it was obviously like the large dairies and, you know.
Well, so you have two chickens you put in a barn and you're the equivalent of a Willamette egg farm out on Highway 62 that used to be there, right?
Yes,
with thousands
exactly.
of chickens.
Because once they have these regulations of just 2 animals on concrete or gravel, which is kind of ridiculous, right? Then they can do anything. And of course, you know, I would go to the conspiracy that, you know, look, if you're not of the correct political persuasion, they can use rules like this.
Because it'll be politically used to attack the enemies of the state, rather the enemies of the power structure, I guess, is
right.
how you see that. And it's right. not that they're going to go after everybody. It's going to be, all right, you said the wrong thing on Twitter, so we're going after your little small farm, right? That kind
yeah.
of thing.
Mm. Yeah.
It makes sense.
Exactly.
Right? Diane Lithicum is running for state senate in the primary right now. So you do have a primary battle. What I wanted to dig into is that you have been beside Senator Dennis Lithicum for many, many years as chief of staff. You've been in all these battles. Could you evaluate the last 2 sessions, let's say, because... I'm not here to bash Republicans, all right, but right. I have been astounded at how many newsletters I've been receiving talking about all the wonderful things that have been done here. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm looking at the Republicans as having been rolled, essentially, mm-hmm. you know, again. And I don't know, maybe it's just human nature that we're all trying to get along, but what is your evaluation of it overall?
Right, right. Well, I would agree with you, actually, 100%. I think I think, you know, Dennis and my perspectives as he, you know, worked in the legislature and continues to work in the legislature, we always talk about these things together. And when there is a walkout decision to be made, we've always made those decisions together as well.
Mm-hmm. That was back in the last one, right?
Back in 2023, of course, mm-hmm. there was walkouts prior to that. 2023, of course, had the terrible consequences of getting the, you know, at least the five most conservative Republicans basically unable to run again, which is why I'm in this race, so that we can just keep that representation going and keep a strong voice. You know, we at times it gets very frustrating. And Dennis, even over the last 8 years, has said, gosh, you know, I don't know if I'm making a difference because of the committee, you know, situation, 3-2 on the floor. You can vote no and cry in your hankies all day long. And that if basically in the legislature, if a bill comes to the floor, it's passing. And the Democrats have said that outright. We don't bring a bill to the floor that we know won't pass. So, you know, it's correct for us as conservative Republicans to stand up and argue our points, and so that the people know they have a voice in the legislature. And, you know, I have faith that we're going to turn this around, that people in Oregon will wake up. And, of course, we'll get our election system when Dennis is Secretary of State, we'll get our election system straightened out and have it be fair and transparent as it should be. And
by chance, did you hear my little conversation about the current Secretary of State with the voting feels good with little Blobby, right. The little Blobby?
Right.
What are we all, two-year-olds? Is that
And I think, you know, what that says to me, because I've seen that on the site, it is ridiculous. It is so childish. And it's also, it's the dumbing down of the citizens, and it's the patting on the head. Like, you know, just trust us. We've got it handled. Just look at our little cartoon, you know, and this will make you feel really good. And of course, this Secretary of State is the one who is bringing in the misinformation, disinformation, malinformation software system. Right.
Uh-huh.
That is, so you can only approve of the blob. Is that his name?
No. I thought Blobby is perfect Blobby. Because it's like the election blob right. of the state of Oregon.
Right.
In other words, you, and by the way, whatever you're doing, don't, you can't look at the, you can't look at the ballots because Blobby says so. Blobby
right.
says no.
You know? Right, right. And, you know, if you're having a conversation on Twitter and you happen to, you know, ask a question of, gosh, you know, I didn't feel good about, you know, whatever was going on in the election, or you just say something that the Secretary of State or their little AI system picks up, you know, you say Trump, you say fraud, you know, you say COVID,
right.
whatever. The same thing that we saw social media doing in the COVID era. You know, I think it's really problematic. And of course, Dennis is fighting that right now.
Yeah. Well, so. maybe what we should do is have a parody of Blobby in like a stormtrooper's outfit or something like that. Okay. Just for
right,
fun.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Stormy is not happy, or Blobby is not happy with what you are saying.
Right.
Yikes. Okay.
Yeah.
Diane Linthicum with me, state Senate candidate, Klamath Falls area, Beatty. And, what would you see as the most important legislative agendas to be working on besides saying no to stuff that deserves to be said no to? And I know that this is where I've had a lot of problems with many Republicans, because they have helped Democrats get their bills passed, or at least they give political cover to it. And I've been concerned that the more Republicans do not obstruct or attempt to obstruct Democrats and vote no on their stuff, because they can't get anything good in the bills. We know this. You yourself have just mentioned, any bill that gets passed is a Democrat bill. That's just the way it is. It's because of the math problem. My concern is that Republicans become weaker because they will, in essence, have to defend their votes, because they were admitting that, well, there was something there worth voting for. And so how can you really come out against the Democrat policies? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on this as a governing principle?
Yeah. So first, I think when you see Republicans voting yes on these bills, you can just know for sure that there was a deal made.
Mm.
I mean, I would say 99% of the time Especially if it's a horrendous bill, right, that their constituents probably would not be in favor of, but they're going to cover it with ads and, you know, a happy jargon. But, you know, there was a deal made. They got, you know, money for a ball field or money for sidewalks or, you know, whatever the payoff.
Yeah.
Was.
Yeah. Gold Hill gets the sewer pipe, you know, that kind of thing. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a challenging situation for conservative legislators like myself, where, you know, you're faced with they bring these. Hey, if you vote with us, we'll because they love to say it's a bipartisan bill, right?
Well, so I think they are hungry for it to be bipartisan because it gives two people, it gives deflection power.
Exactly.
I think.
Exactly right. Yeah. And so, you know, it's problematic. We vote no. I would vote no anyway. And I would not, I'm not there to bring home the bacon. I'm there, of course, to do what I can for these communities, right? But you can't sell your soul for a project in a community. And I just think that's arrogant. I think our job there is to protect our citizens from government overreach, not to get in bed with the government. And, you know,
do the people in your district, though, have they come back and yelled at maybe not maybe because you don't always vote yes and help Democrats that, you know, and if you think that way, you don't get any money or you don't get the relief,
right,
or you don't get the, you know, the help that they're thinking that we deserve. What is your thought on that?
You know, really, for our district, I think Dennis in the past 8 years has been appreciated. And I think I will be as well for the tough stances and for not being able to be bought. Because once you're bought, this is a dangerous game, right? Because once you accept that, they know and they will come after you time after time after time. Mm. And you'll just continue going down that route. And I think the citizens of District 28, Jackson, Klamath, and Southern Deschutes, it's a very rural area. You know, we're very self-sufficient. We want to be left alone, if you will. Of course, there are services that we need in our communities, but I don't think it's things that the Democrats are going to be offering that are worthy of being bought and sold as a legislator.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Diane Linthicum, running for state senate. I wonder if we're seeing more activist conservatives going on. I've noticed that there's a real controversy right now going on in a different Senate district with David Brock Smith, in which it's like RUPAC, this political action committee, puts up a billboard saying, you know, made in China. Did you hear about that by chance?
It's yes. Like,
oh, my
yes.
Goodness. Because he's in a primary battle here right now. Now, I'm not speaking to the truth of it or the non-truth of whatever. You know, a lot of claims can be made in political campaigns, right? We know that. A lot of stuff can be thrown. But I wonder if there is a growing discontent with the, hey, I'm going to vote yes on stuff to bring home the bacon. Maybe that's what's driving some of this. Any thoughts on that?
I think so. As you know, David Brock Smith has a very conservative district as well. And I think when we're representing the conservative districts, you know, when you get to Salem, it makes it, you get pushed in the direction of government spending and government, you know, giveaways and, you know, this is how we can make sure you get elected next time. And I think, you know, you've got to keep your focus on your district and the hardworking people there that are paying the taxes. And, you know, what does your district, what would really benefit your district? And I think my perspective is more money in everyone's pocket is what, let them support the things that they want to support versus the government coming in and saying, we've got this grand idea. You know, give us all your money.
Such
and
a concept.
We'll supply.
Yeah, such a concept, Diane. Yeah. Since you have been chief of staff for 8 years and you have been the one in charge, you've been really the linchpin of what goes on there in this Senate seat. Who is the lobby or who are the lobby? Is there anyone, you know, because we always talk, I talk with Herman Bertschiger about this and he says, hey, listen, you know, the lobbies really run the show. Who are they?
Right. Yeah. So they're, you know, they're as our predecessor Doug Whitsitt used to say, they're the folks who walk around the Capitol in shiny shoes and you know, $1,000 suits. So you know, they're nice enough people. You wouldn't mind having lunch with them, but they are there to do a job, and their job is to represent the company, the industry that they're paid to represent, and get a bill passed or bills passed that support that industry and or hinder their opposition, right? So you have to be careful like that. So, and we've also, at a town hall I was doing, they said, so gosh, you know, how can you, you know, walk around with these lobbyists? I said, you know, but we do have some great lobbyists there. We have lobbyists for the home builders. We have lobbyists for private industry, right? Business industry. We have lobbyists for the Farm Bureau and the Cattlemen's and, you know, Right to Life and Oregon Firearms Federation. And so those folks are the ones that really we appreciate so much.
So you can't trash lobbyists, but I guess the challenge that I run into is that, are there lobbyists for the public employee unions? I'm kind of, do you get that?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yes. SEIU, you know, begs for meetings. And, you know, it is interesting because in the beginning, you know, you're there and when you're in the legislature and you just are starting out, like if you're unfamiliar with the legislature, it's a job like no other. There, you know, your life skills play into how you handle the job and the skills you bring to the positions. But you get in there and you don't know the people, you don't know the players. So, you know, you have the SEIU lobbyists in there and then you check off, okay, never again for that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, never again for that one. But yes, absolutely. There are those lobbyists there getting meetings and you know, paying off legislators. So
is the electorate that votes for Republicans more conservative or less conservative than the actual caucus itself in the Senate and or maybe the House? I don't know. Maybe you could comment on both. Just curious.
I would say as a whole, more conservative. You know, I've always been
the voters are more conservative. The voters are more conservative.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. And, you know, even though like Bend proper has kind of moved into the blue section, you know, I think with the DMV voting and with some failures of the Republican Party in our state and nationwide, people have moved into the non-affiliated or thinking they were non-affiliated by being independent. But those people, as we travel around, those people are mostly conservatives who the Republicans failed them, they felt like, you know, whether it was walking back in or passing, you know, tax and spend bills that they're not in favor of, all these regulations. So they've just gone to non-affiliated. Now, in Oregon, of course, that's a problem because you now have no say in the primary. So we're always telling people, you get in there and change your registration. Hold your nose if you have to. We understand. We get frustrated with Republicans as well. And we just continue to push for our conservative values. And you know, we make headway. Like we got Rep. Yunker, you know, the good people over there in Josephine County chose Rep. Yunker to be the representative. And he's great to have there as an ally. And we appreciate his voice.
Yeah. I don't think that he's on the Christmas card list of many lobbyists either.
Right. No, but, exactly.
But you see, and I understand the challenge that that incumbents have. All right. I'm not trying to just smash everybody that voted yes. But the problem is that you're doing it to get, you know, a few bucks here. But essentially, we're bit by bit selling our souls for just pennies on the dollar, really, I think is what has been going on. And maybe we would be better off and stronger ultimately just to say more no more often and say yes only to a truly good bill rather than, I mean, well, okay, give me your take then. 4002. Is it 4002 or 4004? Okay. The way I'm reading the repeal of Measure 110, I don't see it as particularly strong because I'm looking at the language in it, and so much of this is the officer may do this, or we suggest that they do this, and blah 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 blah. I mean, what's really going to change here, Diane?
Right. I don't think anything. I mean, I think it's problematic. I think it's problematic also that the narrative from the Republicans was a big win. You know, I'm sorry to say we had that with 2002 with the walkout. you know, Dennis and I did not go back to the Capitol. We did not agree with just the little sway that the Democrats gave, because the Democrats kept saying in meetings, we're not changing 2002. We want this bill. And of course, this was a bill that came down from Planned Parenthood at the national level.
Yeah. And this was essentially about all the transgender surgery.
Right.
It was everything about transgender, holy transgender. You know, it was essentially what that was.
And the only thing the Republicans could get out of it was to change it from at any age without parental notification to 15 and under, which I don't think is a win.
Everybody knows that a 14, 13, 14, 15 year old young person, they're perfectly capable of deciding every, you know, life affirming, life changing things, right?
Right. They can't smoke a cigarette. They can't get a tattoo. They can't join, you know, the military.
Yeah. But they can whack off their genitals, right? They know, right? Oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly. So that was not a win. We did not agree with that. And then 4,002 here in this short session was the same deal. You know, the Democrats basically were getting hammered by their constituents because this measure 110 was a complete and utter failure.
If Republicans, Diane, had not helped on 4,002, if they had said no to all of it, would we have gotten a better bill? Because we didn't get that great of a bill out of this.
Right. No, I agree. It's not tough enough. I don't think it's really going to make much difference because we're giving the defendants too much leeway in this. You know, they may decide not to go to the help, not to go to counseling.
Yeah.
And the deflection program. Right?
Yeah, that's it. Deflection. Okay.
Boy. Right. The person who just got picked up by the cop on the street corner, or who's, you know, was using drugs on the bus or whatever and got picked up, they can then choose not to go to deflection. So what kind of, you know, I don't know a lot of drug addicts, but I'm guessing that, you know, addiction is addiction and they're not going to choose.
Well, for the most part, when you're addicted and it's just kind of like, you know, Stinky, the tent resident over at Riverside Park on the Greenway, is going to say, I like my fentanyl right now. Of course, they're not in a good mind, you know.
Right.
And so, well, it's kind of like the 14-year-old cutting off his or her genitals, you know, because I want it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
And, you know, I think, you know, Dennis kind of argued that this bill would be better served in the long session, but the Democrats pushed and pushed and pushed. And see, part of the problem, too, here is the Democrats are pushing. And remember, the Democrats can pass it at whatever it looks like.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was getting at it. And they wanted to pass a weak one. So it's like perhaps the Democrats would have been or Oregon would have been better served if all Republicans had united and said no to it. And then they passed it and said, hey, your fault, guys, you know, when it fails, which it probably will fail, as you're talking about.
Right. Yes. Which, you know, is we got a few concessions. We got a few things that might help out a little bit, which were not, you know, they weren't, the Republicans were in meetings for hours and hours and hours. Of course, it's a 75-page bill, right? So, and this got brought to the floor very quickly because it's short session. So everything's on steroids. But so I think it would have been better served in the long session.
Agreed.
I think that would have been good to fight just for that.
I think most people would just prefer that Republicans not bail the Democrats out of their own, you know, when your enemy is doing bad things, don't get in the way, you know,
even though it
would have been better to have not bailed them out because they would have had to come back with something a little more substantive.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble. I'm stumbling over that one. Anyway, more important. Okay. How can people find out more about your candidacy now that you're running for state Senate and where they can go find out more about you?
Yes. Well, you know, we've been trying. We've had some folks helping us try and get a Facebook page going at the very least. And somehow they've been shutting us down. I don't know if they've seen something about Diane for Oregon. But so right now we're still in the process of putting that stuff together. But they're welcome to email me at Diane, D-I-A-N-E, numeric 4, O-R. So Diane for Oregon, O-R, at gmail.com. And that's, you know, if people have questions or would like more information, I'm more than happy to answer emails and shoot them more information for the time being.
All right.
And we'll start getting that stuff up.
All right, Diane, I appreciate the talk as always, and best of luck on this, okay? Be well.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to be with you.
Good talking with you, too. It's a minute after 8 at KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KCMD Grants Pass, Translator K294 AS Ashland.
American Rentier Garage is your premier auto care provider, serving Medford, Central Point, and the Rogue Valley, providing nothing less than the highest quality standard of professionalism on every single service and repair. Call today. Appointments are available for oil change to engine change. Get the peace of mind you deserve at American Rentier Garage on Biddle, across from Elmer's. 499-6673. American Rentier Garage. We stand behind every job we do with service you can trust.
How do you know you're selling your home with the right agent? Hey, it's Lars. I'm going to tell you, in Medford and Southern Oregon, the right agent is Jared Hokanson of Hokanson Realty. Trust Jared to get the job done. With Jared and his team, you're going to get years of experience and the know-how to navigate the market right here in Medford. Jared and his team have exclusive strategic options to get your home sold. Combined with Jared's highly effective marketing, why would you think of working with any other agent in Medford or Southern Oregon? Best of all, Jared guarantees to sell your home at a price and a deadline you agree to, or he buys it. Now you know why real estate expert and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran and I can't stop talking about Jared Hokanson. Call the only agent I recommend in Medford and all of Southern Oregon. Call Jared Hokanson at 541-772-SOLD. That's 541-772-SOLD. Or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and start packing.
Spring is here, so let Grange Co-op help you get your backyard and home ready for a fresh new season. Dig up some savings with help from us now through April 14th. Score great prices on this season's must-haves for backyard renovations, garden starts, DIY projects, and home improvements. Like buy three, get one free on GNB raised bed potting mix. Buy three, get one free on lavender. 30% off fruit trees, 10% off GNB organic lawn fertilizer, and more. Limited to stock on hand. Visit us at GrangeCoop.com to view our full ad and all the savings.
The Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
Holly Martin, Joe County Republican Party Chair. It's on your mind, Holly. What's happening?
Well, number one, I love the Linthicums, both Diane and Dennis. They're fantastic. They're the kind of people that we need to get in there. If we could get him as Secretary of State and get her elected in Senate, that would be fantastic. But I'll tell you,
agreed,
the lobbyists are going to fight against that tooth and nail.
Yeah.
Because they want the deal makers in there. So we're going to have to, as citizens, step up, take a look at what's going on and say, look, we are tired of the deal makers. We've got to have the people in there that are going to get the job done in a way that's long-term, helpful, and satisfactory to our state.
Agreed. So, okay, okay. Now, Holly, you get Real American Salute. I think you encapsulated it right there. Hang on. Did the little crown appear on your head? Do you feel it yet?
Well, it felt good. It felt good. And the same goes for Dwayne Junker. Dwayne's doing the fight. And, you know, people who fight like that are the ones that always end up in the newspaper, you know, with people saying terrible things about them. But those are our people. Those are our people. Those are the ones who really care about what's going on. And we've got to support them at every turn.
Oregon is at the point now where to just cut a deal with people who are destroying the state and the culture right now is just not a winning strategy. And, you know, you just can't go along at this point. And if you're not, and at the very least, if they can pass every bad bill that they want, Holly, there's no point in giving a yes vote to it. There's no point. There's no win for you.
Well, that's right. And every bill has got some really terrible stuff in it. So when we pass some of these bills, there's enough terrible stuff in it to tank the state. If there are some terrible things in the bill, you've got to say, no, we're not passing this bill, and really fight about it. Who would want to get their name on passing a bill that's just terrible? And a lot of them come through now just because there may be 10 things that are sort of passable and, you know, milquetoasty anyway.
Yeah, and I think that's where
four or five.
And I think that's where you had people like Christine Drazen and various others that were stepping in it on the tampon in the boys' room bill, because there were some other aspects to it, right? There were other aspects to, you know, the menstrual equity thing. But menstrual equity, and it ends up being defined as boys should have tampons. You know, it's like, come on. Yeah.
Well, and they brought Christine back. They're bringing back, I think, the lobbyists or whoever are bringing her back in. I understood that she was in the caucus the other day to run against Hebe, who is another very principled guy.
Yeah.
And Noah Robinson, super principled guy.
Got to stick with the principled people right now, because the deal makers have been ruling the roost and the lobbyists love them. If the lobbyists love them, that's a problem. We really need to think about that. And Holly, I appreciate your call as always. Thank you very much. 770-5633-6 after 8. Let me go to John. Hey, John, you were listening to KMED's other FM, HD2, The Valley, the other day, huh? So what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was. And I just wanted to mention, I've been wanting to say this for a while, that I don't think I've ever heard them play the same song twice. Now, they do play some oddball stuff, but it's a great change from these other radio stations that are always playing the same 50 songs over and over and over again.
That was the design of the Valley. They call that format technically Adult Alternative. It's KMED HD2. And so you can hear it in HD if you have an HD radio at 106.3. Otherwise, listen to 105.5 is the main translator for that. And that's what you've been doing, okay?
Yep, that's the one. I mean, we're both, not young fellas, and the same old stuff gets dry after a while. I mean, you've been in radio for a long time.
44 years. 44 years.
I think you were in Southern California during the 80s, right?
Yeah, 1980. My first radio station was KIOT in Barstow, California. Boy.
Do you remember the big radio wars between the two big stations in L.A., KLOS and KMET?
Yes, I do. I do indeed.
Oh, wasn't that something? Wouldn't that make an interesting movie if they reviewed that these days?
Yeah, it was... There was a lot of that going on. And, of course, going to a KLOS or a KMET, back in those days, that was like, to us young DJs, that would have been like, oh, the coolest, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That was our goal.
Well, one of the DJs was the guy that Tom Petty made that song, There Goes the Last DJ.
Yep, indeed.
I don't remember that guy's name. He was good, but also kind of obnoxious, kind of full of himself, wasn't he?
Yeah. There are all types in the broadcast industry, my friend. But anyway, thank you for the compliment on the Valley. The Valley is a great format, and it is not just play the same 50 songs again and again and again. And that's what it was designed to do.